Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Big Show. Great to have you with us today, broadcasting from our Southern Command here in Memphis, Tennessee. Folks, we've got a great hour of conversation hanging out with you for the next hour. Go ahead and write down our telephone number. You will need this, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number nationwide, 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstarnes.com, and lots of great stuff for you to check out there. Got to bookmark that site. So look, earlier in the first hour of the show, I was lamenting that we just don't have a lot of political pundits out there that talk like you and I do. And we have the best of the best here. Liz Peek, Jen Kearns, you name it. We've got, Monica Crowley. But the problem is a lot of them just don't talk Southern. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited to announce that we actually have somebody who speaks our language. And he's right here in Memphis, Tennessee, hosts an incredible Saturday afternoon show with his wife. It's called The Real Resistance. Chet and Sherry Hopper are the husband and wife, and Chet Hopper is hanging out with us. Chet, hey, how's it going?
It's going great, man. It's good to be here in the studio with you today.
Yeah, well, look, I was a big fan of your show for quite a while now, and I just like how you basically, you know, cut to the chase and get to the bottom line.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, right, where the more you try to be political correct, words lose their effectiveness. Like here in the South, where if you say, hey, are you guys hungry, that, okay, yeah, you might want to eat. But if you come real with it, you go, hey, y'all want to go to mama's? You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
That's a whole nother thing of, it doesn't even strike hunger. There's no arguing about, well, who do we want? Sushi? Do we want fish? We want to mama's. We want some cornbread, some collard greens, and we're going to get it done. So if you say what you mean, more often than not, you get your point across at the risk of maybe offending some. But I'm okay with that. If nobody likes you, you're living wrong. If everybody likes you, you have no enemies, you're living wrong. You have to pick a side.
Well, clearly, based on the email I get every day, I'm living pretty darn good, Chet Hopper.
Me and you both.
All right. A lot of stuff going on. And we were talking to the last hour about this survey. Forbes magazine, Forbes.com, 82% of Americans want a monthly stimulus check. What say you?
You know, I listened to that and I was thinking to myself, everybody must not understand it the way I understand it, because there's no such thing as government funded. The government doesn't make money. They use our money to do this. So if it's not truly government funded, if it's Chet funded, I barely have enough for Chet, right? I don't want anybody to come around and hand me this. Like, I feel like Oliver Twist, right? Like you're going up to the government or whoever's supposed to hand you out and be like, more, please. You know, it doesn't even make any sense. If you're a small business owner, that's why people come here to begin with. You don't see a mass exodus of people leaving America to go to a socialist country for the business opportunities. They're coming here. We have legal and illegal immigration 24/7, people coming to this country for the American dream. And these guys, I don't understand. I don't know. I know it's a power grab of some sort, but I just can't understand for the life of me why all the Americans are buying into, true Americans. I tell people all the time, I'm not really a Democrat or a Republican. I'm a common sensitarian. And if you were just going to be out there and begging, you can go beg down on Brooks and Third here in Memphis. There's beggars that'll hang out with you and beg with you. That's not me. I don't think it's the American way, and I don't think it's something that the Americans should be embracing.
You know, I don't get very emotional on this program, but I got to tell you, I was reading this op-ed in the New York Post, this, you know, New Yorker, and again, I don't know where he is politically, but he's saying the city is dying. Over 3,000 people lining up 4:30 in the morning to get a handout at a, you know, at a food bank or at the local church. That's not the kind of America I want, Chet.
No, you and I both. I was talking to Sherry. She's my co-host on The Real Resistance on Saturdays. I wonder if the people in Rome ever sat around and had the conversation like, you know what, this is going to be the end of us. Right before it happened, I find myself going there in my mind sometimes thinking about, is this really the America that you know, that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and all the guys that founded it, trying to break away from the tyranny and the oppression, came, is this really what they had in mind? Is this really what they wanted? And I just don't think that's the case.
So, look, I want to ask you about these masks.
Yes.
Because you're kind of in the first responder-esque business.
Yes.
I'm not wearing a mask, but if a business requires me, I will not go in there. I won't make a big scene about it. I'll just go shop somewhere else.
Right.
But I was talking to the first hour. I was down at Kroger in Germantown, and I walked in. I was the only person not wearing a mask, and I was getting the looks.
Oh, absolutely. You know where I was getting the looks this morning? Shelby Farms. For the people listening, Shelby Farms is like the largest unobstructed inland park, one of the largest in America. It's almost the size of like Central Park. I mean, this place is huge. Literally, social distancing is built in. I'm walking around the track. They got a 2.5 mile track that you can walk around. I'm getting my cardio in this morning, and everybody's out there doing cardio. One wearing a mask like they're training for the Olympics, right? It's got the breather and the rebreather and the charcoal filter on it. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And they're looking at me like, you peasant. I'm like, what? Oh, what? Like out now you can just catch the corona, right? Like it's just airborne. Like it's going to do a Braveheart, paint its face blue, and dive into your face in the middle of outside somewhere. I just don't get it. I'm not wearing one.
Here's my concern, and this is going to really, Chet, you may not know this, but we have a lot of leftist lurkers work for a lot of the liberal publications, Media Matters, Mediaite, and they're basically the types. They're sweaty guys, got the bad, you know, skin condition, sitting in their mother's basement right now, eating the Cheetos.
Yes.
And
playing
listening,
Fortnite.
And listening to every word we're saying here. So I want to make sure they hear me correctly. I'm beginning to believe that the face masks are to the United States what the burqa is to many Middle Eastern countries. It's almost a sign of oppression.
You know,
the government is forcing you. They wanted, I know here in Memphis, Tennessee, like many other cities, they were trying to force you to wear this mask. And again, I'm not quite sure why, because the medical experts say the mask is not going to save you from the virus.
And what's really strange to me about this is the logic is flawed from the beginning. Now, I know I talk slow, but don't let the smooth taste fool you on this one, because the logic is built right into the argument. If masks are safe, then wear them. Why shut down? If they're not safe, why not just close down completely and have them not work? You have to pick one or the other. Either the mask works or it doesn't. And if it does work, hand it out to the prisoners they keep letting go and quit arresting the guys trying to go to the gym in New Jersey. Just give them a mask.
Now, I will say this. It gets one of the things that I discovered in New York City. They do have winter there. But the summers are just as hot and humid as they are below the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, yes.
I'm just wondering, what's that going to look like when you've got 100 degrees outside and you're being forced to wear all this protective covering?
Trust me, we have family in New York. So when we go, we had an apartment we stayed in. It's right there at 75th and Broadway.
Well, that's a nice area.
Nice area.
Wealthy front neighbors.
Well, my wife's her cousin is a actress/Victoria's Secret model. So half the year she's in L.A. and half the year she's in New York.
Okay, wait a second. Why didn't we start with that?
Right.
What?
So when Suzanne is in L.A., she lets us come stay at her place. And it's right there. I mean, you could watch the parade right by it. So we went in summertime. If I had to wear a mask sitting on the subway in New York in 100 degrees, there's no way. I have asthma. You can just go ahead and kill me. You can go ahead and chalk me up to a COVID death, whatever you want to do, because I'd be dying from COVID, but because I was suffocating to death, not because I contracted the disease trying to hang out in New York wearing a mask in the summer.
Well, you know,
it's insane hot.
Well, look, and what did it for me? You know, I have every listeners know that I have a bad heart, and we got word that they were given orders not to resuscitate. So if you drop, they can't bring you back. And I thought, well, geez, Lou, I don't want that to happen. So I better head down to Dixie.
A city ordinance DNR. I've never heard of that before.
Do not resuscitate.
That's very
odd.
Do
not resuscitate. All right, folks, 844-747-8868 is our number if you'd like to talk with Chet Hopper, host of The Real Resistance on KWAM. You can listen to the show Saturdays online, mighty990.com. Let's go to – do we have Kevin from North Little Rock? Is he still hanging out with us? All right, let's go to Kevin, North Little Rock, Arkansas, listening to us on KARN. Kevin, you're on the air. Say hello to Chet.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin? I like that. How you guys doing? You sound like you from home.
I'm originally from West Helena, Arkansas, and I think you
yes,
guys
sir.
Know it was at 50 miles from here right now. So,
not too far away.
Not too far, at all. I've been to Little Rock a million times. The ATA headquarters was there when I used to teach taekwondo back in the day, and we were in Little Rock constantly.
There you go. I think they've moved that now. They don't have the annual event at there anymore, do they?
Yeah, it used to be at the Excelsior Hotel in Little Rock every year.
That's right. Okay, so, guys, I'm just, my concern here is we've got a lot of blue-collar people caught up in this, okay? And with the recent actions on Monday of the Attorney General in Minnesota suing the restaurant owner that's got, the six restaurants for defying and planning to open up. So since we have so many blue-collar people, I think a lot of these people are a little bit scared to come out of their holes that they're living in right now because of the fear of the litigation, the fear of having to be in a courtroom maybe in the future after they get arrested. So I was just wondering if you guys thought that there may be some good lawyers out there that may want to work pro bono in order to protect our God-given rights right now to go out of our houses and go to work and walk around and enjoy life or just live life, survive life. And I was just wondering what you guys thought about that, because I think that's probably a big concern for people. If they're looking down the road and they're like, oh, I'm going to be tied up in court for a while. I'm going to be having to deal with, a lot of legal.
Kevin, that's a huge thing. I mean, you're right. And I think there is a component of this, which is about fear and intimidation and bullying. And my greater concern about all of this is that we have now demonstrated to these socialists out there exactly how far they can push us. And right now, we don't know where that line is, because they're still pushing back in places like New York City and out into California, Chicago, and of course in Michigan. So to answer your question, though, there are some great organizations out there. We've had some of these attorneys on the show, Liberty Council, First Liberty Institute, Alliance Defending Freedom. And these are organizations, they're nonprofits, some of the best attorneys out there. They've argued and won cases at the Supreme Court, and they will take on those cases, those civil liberty cases, free of charge. So we need more people like that out there across America. And again, we have to be willing to stand up and push back. I just think it's absolutely unacceptable to have 3,300 of our fellow citizens lining up at 4:30 in the morning to get a food handout. That's just unacceptable. Kevin, thank you for the call. Folks, got to take a quick break. Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Absolutely. I'm here.
All right. Chet Hopper from The Real Resistance, heard on KWAM Mighty990.com. If you'd like to weigh in, folks, 844-747-8868. Toll free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Getting a lot of emails about our big fall getaway coming up in October at the Billy Graham Training Center in North Carolina. And I said, Todd, are you still going to do that? Yeah, we're doing it. It's going to be a great weekend experience. So bring your husband, your wife, if you want to bring the kids. It is a great family-friendly weekend. We call it the Todd Starnes Fall Getaway. Dennis Swanberg, who is known nationally as the Minister of Encouragement, one of the funniest guys I know, and just a great voice guy, too. He does the impressions. He's going to be our speaker. The Irwin family, one of the top musical acts in Southern gospel music, they'll be performing. And you're also going to hear from you'll meet a lot of the folks that you hear on our radio show. They will be there for the weekend as well. So if you'd like information on signing up, we sort of limit it to around 300 people. So go to the website, toddstarnes.com, click on the events tab at the very top of the page, and you'll have all the information there. All right, Chet Hopper hanging out with us this hour of the show. Co-host of The Real Resistance with Chet and Sherry Hopper, heard Saturdays on KWAM. Let's get to the... Well, hold before we get to Mike. So Chet, is this your first time doing like the national thing?
It is. You know, I was actually kind of nervous about it, and then I sat down and I thought, you know what? Wait a minute. I'm just going to go in there and be Chet. But I am excited. So, you know, if I say something or if I put an extra R in something that you guys don't understand, I will try to keep it calm. Like, I was 23 years old before I realized the word spatula was not spatula because we're that Southern, right? I was grown when I figured it out. So if there's something you guys are, if I'm saying it's crazy and you hit us up, I'll clarify. Don't worry. I'll put it into regular speak for you.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate that. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Mike in Jacksonville, North Carolina. A lot of patriots live out in that part of the country, listening to us on The Talk Station. Mike, what's going on?
Well, I was calling to make a comment, a few facts. Fact number one, I ain't wearing a mask. And there ain't enough cops in the county to put one on me. Fact number two is that viruses have pre-existed mankind for like hundreds of thousands of years. And, you know, we populated the earth anyway, you know, without a mask, without all this kind of, you know, stuff. Fact number three is that governors all the time are bucking President Trump's orders on whatever comes out, and, you know, they expect us to kowtow to their orders of, you know, stay at home, you know, wear a mask.
Yeah, and it's happening in your state as well. It's happening in your state of North Carolina, your governor there, Governor Cooper, saying that, you know, you guys, he knows better than you. And, you know, Chet, I think there are a lot of people. Mike, thanks for the call. I think there are a lot of people like him out there in the country. Says,
oh, yeah.
You know what? Yeah, go. You want to make me wear a mask? Or go ahead and try.
Right. Yeah. The silent majority. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where I agree with him. I'm not wearing a mask. I can promise you there's not enough people to put one on me. And also, nothing is going to take out the entire human race that can be cured with a sink. If you can wash your hands and clear it up, it's not going to take everybody out. It was just like when everybody was talking about the 2012, when they were talking about the Mayan calendar. They had people all worked up about the earth ending and all that, and it was going to be a thing, and it had all kind of news media. And I've traveled the world. I've actually been to the areas down there. You know what I've never seen? An Aztec. They're not that great at predicting the future. You know what I mean? I've never seen one. They're not here anymore.
That's a fair point.
You know what I mean? If it's something that you can cure with a little bit of soap and a little bit of water and a sink, it's not going to kill everybody off. I refuse to believe that.
Look, I think early on, Chet, and we've got about 30 seconds here, I think early on, no one knew what we were dealing with.
Correct.
And I thought it was prudent. Let's put go ahead, quarantine everybody for 2 weeks. But now we're, 3 months into this?
Crazy.
And it's not going to end.
It's not. It's going to be now. It's not about anything other than political control at this point. Because dying is one of the conditions of living. It's going to happen to you.
Fair enough.
No matter what. And so you still are Americans, and you still have the reasonable ability to choose how you want to live day to day.
All right, Chet Hopper, ladies and can we get you back next week?
Absolutely.
All right, we may make this a regular thing.
I would love it.
All right, Chet Hopper, ladies and gentlemen, co-host of The Real Resistance. You can listen to that Saturdays. What time is that?
We are Saturdays from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time.
All right, on the Mighty990.com. All right, got to take a break. Hogan Gidley coming up next. President Trump is in Michigan today. He's going to be taking a tour of the Ford Motor Company plant. And the Attorney General of the state of Michigan, wow, this is nuts. The Attorney General in Michigan is ordering President Trump to wear a face mask when he visits the state. I wonder how that's going to go. On the newsmaker line from the White House, our good friend Hogan Gidley. Hogan, I hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for the time, Todd.
All right. So what's the deal here? The Michigan Attorney General says the president has to wear a face mask. Has the president weighed in on this?
He said something just before he left on the helicopter, and basically it was, we'll see what happens. He's not opposed to it. He said he's going to get on the ground and make the call. But the fact is, even in the Ford Motor plant that he is he's visiting, their guidelines say, you know, you have to wear a mask so you, in case you spread the virus. Well, as we know, the president doesn't have the virus. He said so right before he left, too. He gets tested all the time and says he doesn't have it, so there's no chance he can spread something he doesn't have. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, it's just watching some more of this, you know, this activity from some of these states that are just being really heavy-handed with a few things. So we'll see what happens when he gets there.
If he does wear a mask, I hope it's one of those MAGA masks. You know, he's got to make a political statement.
That would be so good if he did. That'd be hilarious. Hilarious.
That would freak out Mrs. Joe Scarborough over at MSDNC.
Oh, my gosh. They do four or five segments on that.
Wow.
Easy.
Unbelievable. You know, they say she's a Karen. I don't expect for you to comment on that, but they say that Mika is a classic Karen. I don't want you to get into trouble.
Yep. Probably not going to say anything about that, but
yeah, no.
Get your point.
Moving on.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's been a lot of concern over mail-in ballots. I know Ronna McDaniel over at the RNC sent a letter to the Nevada AG, and they're demanding an investigation into what's happening over there. This is a very dangerous thing, and I'm glad the president is bringing this to light.
Yeah, absolutely. He wants things to be done in the proper manner. He's talked about that many times. Today was no different. They're trying to ask about all these types of ballots and what it means, and he was pretty clear. He said, look, there's plenty of fraud across this country. Reports happen every single time we have an election, and you know, we know that this occurs, and for people to pretend as though it doesn't, you know, just to suit political needs is ridiculous. It's almost as though, yeah, we don't, you know, the Obama administration knew Russia was trying to hack into our elections and didn't do anything about it. This president actually did. And then they crowed about Russia. But then they don't say a word if there are, you know, documented cases of fraud in this country. It's really weird how they just, you know, that selective outrage just continues to happen.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think folks need to be reminded. I think it was back in 2005. There was a commission that concluded these mail-in ballots were the largest source of potential voter fraud. So it's an important issue, and we got to keep an eye on this these stuff.
Sure.
These Democrats are ruthless out there.
I'm glad you're bringing it to the fore, too.
Hogan, I want to go, but there was a fascinating op-ed in today's New York Post. They put this thing on the front page, written by a guy, and I don't know his political affiliation, but he was like, this has got to end. The shutdowns have to end. The Big Apple is dying. And he pointed out something that you guys have done, and really it was an affirmation of President Trump. The president wasn't even mentioned in this. But the reality is the White House delivered on everything New York City needed. And it's the leaders of New York City and New York State that are failing those people right now.
Well, look, this is federalism at its finest. The president wanted to make sure that the governors had the final say in opening their state. We issued guidelines, suggestions, boxes they could check to make sure that their populations were prepared for reopening. But at the same time, you know, We set in motion some ideas that we've got to slow this spread. We've got to stop the stop the spread and slow the curve, flatten the curve. And those things have happened. And so it's understandable that as Americans, we're looking around saying, wait a minute, we did everything the government told us to do. Why aren't we reopening? Thankfully, all 50 states have begun some form of reopening at this point, and that's good news. But the president's been clear. He wants to reopen, but he wants to do it safely. And let's be honest about the situation here. Any business that reopens, any business, has a vested interest in making sure they reopen safely. One, it ensures that they actually have patrons to show up. And two, if they open too quickly and don't do social distancing measures and masks and other things, then they're going to be on the hook for that. And people aren't going to want to patron those businesses. So it makes a whole lot of sense that the onus is on the people themselves to do what's right. And the American people always rise to the occasion. They've done so to this point. There is no question and no reason to think they wouldn't rise to the occasion again.
Well said. And I would be remiss if we did not mention this. While the president is in Michigan, he's going to be meeting with some African-American leaders in the Detroit area. What's he going to be talking about?
Talking about some of the actions we've taken here at the White House to ensure that African-American businesses and some of the underserved communities actually receive PPP loans, that they receive the PPE, the equipment as well, into those areas. And we've been doing that from the get-go because so much of what we've seen in these metropolitan areas and the public hospital systems have affected African-Americans, Hispanics as well. A lot of underserved communities are feeling the brunt of this virus. Data is coming back on this issue every single day. And so we want to make sure those communities are served and served well. So far, they have been. And we've seen a few issues pop up in which, you know, without relationships to banks, for example, they had a tougher time with the PPP loans. So we put safeguards in place, sent people to some of these areas to make sure they could have access to that money too. And so the president's going to talk to some of those folks, thank them for their bravery during this time and also their leadership in their communities, and just have a dialogue about what else can we do to ensure that people who had jobs before will have jobs after this. And that's what's really important. And he instructed one of the councils here at the White House to begin to focus just on rebuilding from COVID-19. It's led by Secretary Carson. We have a great slate on that council as well. And so they're looking into the matter every single day to ensure, a bright future for everyone involved.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Hogan Gidley from the White House. Follow him on Twitter, J. Hogan Gidley. By the way, what is that in your profile picture? It's like a turkey?
A turkey.
That's a beautiful bird.
It is something I cannot do any longer, which is go hunting, which I would love to do because of this job. So I'm taking a break, and the turkeys are probably thankful for that.
Well said. All right, Hogan. Look, great stuff. Take care, and I look forward to talking to you down the road.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
All right. Good guy there, ladies and gentlemen. Mississippi guy, by the way. And you got to follow him both on Twitter and Instagram. J. Hogan Gidley is his address there. All right. We are going to take a break. When we get back, we are opening up the phone lines. And the question that we've been asking really for this show is, how do we do it? How do we restore freedom to the people of New York City and the state of California? How do we restore freedom to the good people of Michigan and Minnesota and Illinois? How do we do that? What does that look like? 844-747-8868. We're taking your ideas, your comments. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Of this program is Mike Lindell, who is the founder of MyPillow, and this guy is the real deal. Back when I was at Fox News, I had him on my show for an entire hour, and we told him ahead of time. He said, "Well, what do you want me to talk about?" I said, "Mike, we don't want you to talk about politics. We don't want you to talk about your business. I just want you to share your personal story, your testimony, as we call it in the Baptist faith tradition. What's your testimony?" You know, this was a guy who was heading down a very dark path, and his situation was so dire that the guys who sold him his drugs actually staged an intervention. I mean, and so he sat and told. It was an incredible hour, just really compelling. To see the power of God working in a man's life. And Mike Lindell came to know Christ. He accepted Christ as his Savior and turned his life around and founded MyPillow. And now it's a product that even the president uses. And now they're actually using the staff at MyPillow, the workers, to create these beautiful masks for people and other materials that people need to deal with this coronavirus. And I was really just, I've known Mike for, I guess, 2 or 3 years now. And a couple of weeks ago, we got word that they wanted to become a sponsor of this radio show. And we're just honored that they would do something like that. And they have given us some great deals just for you, our listeners of the Todd Starnes Show. And I want to share this information with you. Go ahead and write down this telephone number. I have the MyPillow products. I've got the pillows are amazing. And I'm one of these guys that never can, you know, get comfortable. But I'm always, you know, shopping around for that pillow. But man, this thing, it's amazing. And the Giza, we have the Giza sheets, the whole nine pillowcases, the whole nine yards. Absolutely unbelievable. And it was so great that Caleb and Avery, I actually overslept my alarm clock this morning.
Oh, wow.
By several hours.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, no. I was snoozing. Thank you, Mike Lindell.
How is this the first time I'm hearing about this?
Yeah.
It sounds like a blast.
It was amazing. So anyway, if you buy a pillow, you're going to get one free. Buy one and you get a second pillow free of charge. And then there are all sorts of other great deals there at the MyPillow website. But you have to use my promo code, which is my last name, Starnes. Or you can call right now. So write this number down, 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. The promo code Starnes. And if you do that, they're going to get you hooked up. And I'm telling you, you will be oversleeping as well. Just, it was pretty remarkable. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty rested today, to be honest with you, fellas.
Good.
See, I'm always, whenever I oversleep, it's almost actually the opposite problem. I get so panicked that I overslept that it ruins the sleep that I got. It's like it saps all that energy back out of me.
Well, since I own the company, I didn't feel all that bad. No stress.
That's a pretty good difference between you
fair,
and Caleb.
Again, fair, no fair, point. Fair point. Fair point.
I can understand. Bill Maine would be on the phone. Where are you?
Yeah, that's happened.
What's going on? So anyway, all that to say, we just really love and appreciate our sponsors. And this has been a tough time. But you know what? Our sponsors have stayed with us through the COVID-19 thing. And I hope that you, as a listener of this program, will give them your support, whether it's Liberty University, where we broadcast from their studios. We have Truett McConnell University, Mission Preborn, and now our new big sponsor is MyPillow, MyPillow.com. So there you go. It's pretty exciting. Guys, we got to get you some pillows.
Avery's been trying to ask during the breaks if he can do one of these readers maybe they can get a sample or something.
I want to do screener. One so bad.
Call screener Avery. You know what we ought to do is you ought to like write up a promo and we can try it out on the air.
Okay. All right. All right.
Let's try that for tomorrow.
Got it. We'll do.
All right. From Illinois, this is a crazy story. NBC Chicago. Representative Darren Bailey, he's a state representative, and he's one of these guys that doesn't like all the restrictions. He wants people to be able to go about their business. Anyway, he has refused to wear a mask. So he shows up at the state capitol yesterday, and he was told that he would not be allowed to stay in the building because he refused to wear a mask. And apparently there is a rule that you have to wear a mask. Several House Republicans voted in favor of removing Mr. Bailey from the proceedings. Here's what House Republican leader Jim Durkin said. We cannot ignore nor compromise the health and safety of every member in the General Assembly, their families, and every one of our staffers who work tirelessly for us. All right, Jim, just dial it back a few notches here. We're talking about a face mask. A mask, by the way, that one Dr. Fauci said really would not matter. So wearing a mask, it doesn't really matter. It's not going to save you from the virus. So there you go. Representative Darren Bailey from Illinois booted from the State House because he refused to wear a mask. Have you heard about this? Sort of got some bits and pieces here to go through because we've got a great next hour coming up, and I want to get to this stuff now. Have you heard about this story? FoxNews.com, more than 600 doctors signed onto a letter sent to President Trump pushing him to end the national shutdown. The letter outlines a variety of consequences that doctors have observed resulting from the coronavirus shutdowns, including patients missing routine checkups, checkups that could detect things like heart problems or cancer. They're also concerned about people using drugs and alcohol and increases in financial instability that could lead to poverty and financial uncertainty. And they say all of those things are linked to poor health. You know, it's only a matter of time before all of these doctors get attacked, because if you go against the mainstream media narrative, you are in hot water. Remember the pastor we had on yesterday, the pastor at Calvary Baptist Church there in Baltimore County, Maryland, and they were sent a letter, a nasty letter, threatening to charge the pastor. Well, they were issuing a cease and desist order to the church. They're no longer allowed to worship. And they said in this letter that the church would be fined $5,000 if they met for worship. So this was like Monday or Tuesday. So last night, Wednesday night, we had the pastor on the show yesterday afternoon. Wednesday night church meeting, guess what happened? The pastor held church, and he stood up in the pulpit. And folks, this is amazing. The pastor stood up in the pulpit and took that letter that he got from Baltimore County, and he tore it in half. Good for you, Pastor. Meanwhile, we also have an update on a story we told you about a few days. Was this? I think it was this week. It's been a busy week. It was either this week or last week. We had the pastor of that Romanian church on our program, Romanian Pentecostal Church. And we're getting word, this is just breaking, and we'll probably have these guys on the show tomorrow to talk about this. The city of Chicago has now issued disorderly conduct citations against the pastors of these churches. The pastor of one of the churches, who was on our show, by the way, received two disorderly conduct citations for holding a morning and evening worship service on Sunday, which is in violation of the law. So right now, we don't believe that the pastors have been arrested, but they have been issued citations, and we're going to keep you posted on that. Also, a breaking story, developing story out of Holly Springs, Mississippi, where a church was burned to the ground, graffiti that seems to indicate this could be tied to coronavirus. It could be a hate crime. You're not going to hear it. We're going to talk more about this after the break, but you're not hearing anything about this on the national news. All right, that New Jersey gym owner standing up to the government, he's going to be on our program right after the news. Stick around, everybody.